We're going to talk this morning. We are switching gears in graces. We're going to change from what we were talking about before. We're going to go all morning this morning. I'm going to talk about justification. All morning this morning, I'm going to talk about what Jesus has done for us in such a magnificent way. It's amazing to me that there are folks that go to places or go to churches that teach you that you can lose your salvation or do something that would take that salvation power away from you, acting as though you yourself are the one that holds it, acting as though you are the one that has something to do with staying saved. And I got to be honest with you, although you should want to live a good life, you should desire to live a holy life, you should desire to do the very best you can to lead a good life, but even at the end of that day, your very best day, you are a sinner at best. You are still a sinner. You still come short of the glory of God. He does something for us that we know part of our own. He gives us this magnificent form of grace called justification. We've been talking about grace and mercy for the last, I don't know, it's going to be forever, it seems like. That's the way I do things. But mercy, and we know this as definition, mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. That's what mercy is. Then grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And both of those happen at the same time in a lot of things, okay? Sometimes it's difficult to tear them apart, but salvation is actually a form of grace. Mercy happens just before salvation as well with salvation at the same time that grace begins. But understand this, we get ourselves into a position, and I've been trying to, through all of the things that we've been talking about in Sunday school, point you in one direction, and that direction is in the direction of Jesus Christ. See, mercy and grace has nothing to do with us. We are the recipients of both, but none of them, neither of them, at any time and in any fashion, are instituted by us. And there's nothing we do to get them. There's nothing we do to deserve them. They are freely given. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning with justification. Now, justification, you have to be careful when you start to teach this, especially as a preacher in an independent fundamental Baptist church, because we teach standards. We teach standards because we want you to live right. We teach standards because we want you to do right. And the Bible teaches standards because it wants you to live right and to do right and to live a life that's better than the world is living. We want you to do those things and we preach those things. And I'm just going to be honest with you right up front. We want you to do these things knowing full well that you'll never do them. And isn't that sad? I mean, you can do the best that you possibly can. I'll get you scripture here in a minute. But understand, at the end of the day, to live with the peace that only Christ can give, you must know that you're going to come short of a perfect life. You must know going in right off the bat that when you go in, you're going to come short of living righteously. But there's this wonderful thing called justification. And this justification is Christ looking at you and God the Father looking at you just as though you've never sinned. It's amazing, and it's something that only He can do. I can't look at you and know that you've never sinned. I know some of your lives. I know that you probably sinned this morning, and before we're all done, we'll probably sin again. The point is that Jesus Christ, either His sacrifice at Calvary, either His crucifixion, His death, either that paid for it all or it didn't pay for anything at all. And when He said once for all, we'll get that this morning in church hour, once for all that sacrifice paid for every sin of the whole wide world ever. Ever. And what's wonderful is I know that I'm going to sin in the future. I don't want to. I mean, how many in here just set out today, I'm just going to go ahead and sin? We're not Catholic here. I mean, you know, I'm just going to set out to sin and I'm going to get it right on Saturday. That's not how it works in the Baptist church. We don't want you to sin ever, but we know that you're going to. We don't want you to, and you ought not want to. You ought to want to come out of the world. I said you ought to want to come out of the world. It should be a desire of yours to get better. It should be a desire of yours to live cleaner. I mean, that should come up in your thought process. I mean, you ever got your car stuck and you would to God that it would come out? I used to have a car, rear-wheel drive, Pinto station wagon. I could be sitting on flat land. If it was icy, I was stuck. Honest to goodness, I had more traction getting out and pushing than that car ever had. All right? You ever lived a life like that? Huh? Come on now. You ever lived a life wondering why you can't take the next step? The problem is you're trying to take the step. Let me help you a little bit this morning. The problem is you're trying to take the step. Your flesh does not want to take the step towards righteousness. That's why you're spinning your wheels. Your flesh, your heart, just follow your heart. Your heart is exceedingly wicked. Your heart is not going to go in the right direction. You've got to spiritually force yourself to go in the direction of Jesus Christ because your flesh doesn't want to go that way. Why am I spinning my wheels? Because you're in control of the wheel. Hey, at least I got a couple amens. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. God is so good to us. And let me tell you, there's a lot of things going on right now that you could look at God and say, God, what are you doing? There really is. There's a lot of things in your life, my life, preacher's life. There's a lot of things going on right now that you would say, God, what are you doing? And you know, I understand this. And this is what scares you a little bit. I got asked this question. Why do we pray? Think about this for a minute. Why do we pray? Because God knows what's going to happen anyhow. Are we going to change his mind? Are we going to change his thoughts? Now, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. There are several cases in the Bible where the Lord said, it repented me that I did this, and so I did this. You say, well, that's changing his mind. Hold on a second. You can't put God in a test tube here. Hold on. We'll get to this in one second. I want to show you something real quick. You cannot put God in a test tube, because let me help you out. You're going to pray, and you're going to want to take that next step towards Christ. You're going to do these things, and God knows that you're going to fail. And you say, oh, God, please take me in the right direction. And God says, yes, I will take you in that direction. And you start to go in that direction and fail. Say, God, why'd you take me in this direction? God knew before you ever did it that it was going to happen. You say, well, why do I pray then? Because God knows what you're going to pray for. God knows what he's going to answer. You don't. Here's where we get stupid. As people, we think that we've got God figured out. So, no, you see, you're looking at me, no, I don't believe that at all. You lie to me, and you lie to you. You think you know what God wants to do with your life a lot of times. You think you've got it all figured out. You think, but never one time have you said, God, what do you want to do with my life? You're excited to tell God what you want him to do with your life. That's really profound if you think about it. You're excited to tell God, God, this is what I think you ought to do with my life. You go back 25 years of my life, I think God ought to make me a Major League Baseball player. Hey, what you say what you want. God ends up making me a preacher. All along the way, I thought, well, boy, this seems like the direction I should go. I'm going to tell you right now, you think that it's all it's cracked up to be up here. You think that being behind a pulpit telling people what they ought not to do is wonderful. Well, you look like you're having a good time. Yeah, I have a really good time in the parking lot after. See, what you got to understand is this. Preaching is not pastoring. Preaching is 10 seconds of fun in the midst of a week of heartache. And it's okay because this is what God has called me to do. That's why I think you ought to understand God has called you to something too. You just have to be willing to pick up the right phone and not dial a number back. Just listen to what he's got to tell you. Now, we live our lives in a state of, well, we're going to do what we're going to do. And by the way, I've learned this real quickly, that humans do what they want to do all the time. Very, very seldom do you have a human that says, I'm going to do something I don't want to do. It's always, I want to do it. We might say that we didn't want to do it, but in the end, we really wanted to do it because we're good at getting out of stuff. Amen? Humans are really good at getting out of stuff. I'll give you a perfect example. My son this morning, it was hilarious. He didn't want to wear khaki pants. I have no idea why my son has an issue with khaki pants. Would you argue with a 10-year-old over why you dislike khaki? I don't know what to say to that. I don't like khaki. Why don't you like khaki pants? Your mother likes khaki pants. She dresses us all, son. Why are you arguing this? You got to, mommy dresses me, son. But don't argue with, just put the clothes on. He says, I'm not wearing these khaki pants. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. And you say, well, just get the strap out, right? I'm laughing too hard. How are you going to beat your son while you're laughing at him for being a diva? And so, hey, son, you're going to wear the khaki pants, and all of a sudden, this light bulb goes above his head. You could see it. It was hilarious. Bing! Hey, Dad, guess what? What, son? We're going out to the church property today. You are your mama's child. He says, do you want me to wear my dress pants out to the church property? I hate you, son. Romans 3:24. We're good at getting out of stuff, amen. We are good at getting out of stuff. Romans 3:24. Ha ha ha. Ah, God's good. Romans 3:24, the Bible says, being justified freely. Now that's not free for him. It cost him everything. But it's free for you. So stop trying to act like you can pay it. Many religions across the face of this nation right now are acting like you can pay it. Acting like there's something you can do. Acting like if you're good enough. None of us are good enough. Quit thinking that you're good enough. And by the way, this is not a message acting like we're going to be liberals or acting like we're going to start letting people do whatever they want to do. But understand this, it's not you doing what you want to do that's the problem. It's the sin that's the problem. So if you look at this, the Bible says being justified freely. Freely by His grace. Notice where I'm pointing. His grace. Not your grace, not your goodness, His grace. By His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This justification is more than just making you right. It's making you perfect. It's making you a person that has no sin in the eyes of Christ. Difficult to live with. Do you know why it's so difficult to live with? Because you know that you did wrong. See, nobody can come to me and say, I didn't do wrong all day today. And then you ended it with that lie. We must come to the understanding that we cannot make it through a day. I want you to take your eyes one verse back. Because it says being justified freely right after the verse that says what? For all, I hate to say it, folks, that includes every one of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't wait to recite that to a sinner that's going to be repenting to get saved. But I got to be honest with you, it's more than just that. It's also us every day. We are sinners. We are sinners. We are sinners. Preachers too. Bobby's ordination is not going to take sin away from him. Christ's death took that away. See, you must understand something. Yes, we are sinners. I'll never forget, I was in, and I've told this story a lot, but it bears telling again. I went down to Cedarville for a while, and you know, whatever. But I went down to, back then it was a Baptist college, still wasn't Baptist then either. But anyways, I was at this college, and Jerry Falwell came in. Falwell, whatever. He came in. And he's preaching-ish at chapel service, one of the few I went to be real honest with you. I was on the baseball team, so I got out of that. But here we are, chapel service. And I'm listening to myself snore. And while he's preaching, I heard him say, since 17 years old, I haven't committed a sin. Well, that woke me up right away. And understand this, I had no idea about the Bible. I didn't know anything back then. I just knew that made no sense to me. for anybody that's willing to say that they haven't sinned since a while, and I'm waiting for him to say, because at 17 I got saved and the Lord took all that away, I'm willing to hear that. Because in the eyes of Christ, from 11-year-old and on, he saved me at 11. The Lord sees me as though I've never sinned ever since then, although I'm a sinner. That's why justification is so really awesome. See, we knew we were going to, by the way, I was a mess at those age. I told myself, the buddy sitting next to me said, hey, did he just say what I think he said? Yes, he did. And he didn't come back with the, because he saved me, come back with, I've never sinned. I haven't committed a sin. And he said, when I tell you I haven't committed, well, you know how that all went. See, you got to understand something. Justification is something that's a gift to you, not something you've earned any more than your salvation. I don't remember earning my salvation when I asked him to save me. I don't remember doing something for it. I just remember saying, oh God, I need you. Come into my heart, save me from my sin. And then grace started coming like crazy. See, I deserved hell. Still do. Still, so do you. But his mercy says no. His mercy says, I'm not going to give you hell. Then his grace comes in, but I will give you heaven. Your mercy says you have no sin. Your grace says you never will. See, you got to understand something. As we look at these things, the Bible says being justified freely by his grace, being justified freely by his grace. And I'm going to tell you right now, this grace comes through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He has paid it all. There's not one ounce that he did not pay. Turn over to Titus chapter 3 with me. If you can find it. Timothy, then Titus. We're going to start in chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. He's teaching us to be good people. We should be good people, right? I mean, this justification does not give us the right to go out and get plastered tonight. We can do it, and God is still going to, you're still saved. Can't lose it. What a wonderful God we have. But at the end of the day, you should not want to do these things. Be good people. Verse 2, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. To speak evil of no man. And there all of our sin fell apart in this room. Because at one time or another, you've said something evil about somebody. I mean, come on. Every one of us do it stupid. And it's stupid. Let me help you out a little bit. We are stupid people. We literally eat our fellow man all the time. We cannot wait to talk bad about somebody. I don't know why that is. We just have a problem. And I know we can pay. And here, boy, take this for what it's worth. We'll get to justification again. But by the way, this all falls under justification. God is a good God. We staple it to, well, I'm a sinner. You know what? You're a sinner, but you don't have to choose to sin. You know what? If people are messing up, I gotta be honest with you. They know it. It's like a fat man doesn't know he's fat. Oh, yeah, he does. He knows. You don't have to tell me I'm fat. I got it. I understand that. And it's up to me to make it right. It ain't up to you to make it right for me. And what happens is this. We get into a life. And by the way, you say, well, preachers call out people all the time. Preachers call out sin. Preachers call out sin. Now, you can take it for what it's worth. Dr. Jim always had one most wonderful statement I ever heard in my entire life. You throw a brick into a pack of dogs, the one that yelped is the one that got hurt. Yep. So you must understand something. I throw something at you, you get hit with it, and you say, oh, preacher, I hate that kind of preaching. And nobody else did. Do you know why you hate it? Because you're doing it. You get mad at me over all the things I talk about. And I told you right up the front, I'm an independent fundamental, I'm against everything. I'm not for anything. That's just the way it works. If it's worldly, I'm not for it. I'm brand new. I don't care. I don't new and improved. No, it ain't. I don't like it. I don't like the world. And let me tell you something. This world is getting crazier by the minute. This world is getting crazier by the minute, and you are getting ready. I know I've heard from you. You're getting ready to toss your hands up and say, why do we do this anymore? Because we're the only ones that will. And we've got a Christ that's worth serving. And we got a Christ that's worth fighting for. Put away all your petty stupidity and serve Christ. Amen. I love the fact. Well, I'm only going to serve Christ if it's on my terms. Well, you're never going to serve Christ on your terms. You're never going to serve Christ on your terms. Brother Myers, did you ever serve Christ on your terms? You serve Christ on his terms, or you don't serve Christ at all. It's like these guys going around, well, I'm going to win a soul the way I want to win a soul. No, you're not. You're going to win a soul the way God wins a soul, because God's the one that's winning the soul, stupid. Amen. And we go through our life acting like we're something. We go through our life acting like we've got it going on. And then we get to these verses in the Bible that says, speak evil of no man. You can't wait to tell God, I didn't speak evil of anybody. God was there when you said it, dummy. I'm fairly certain God heard you. And you don't act like I didn't do it. I've done it too. I speak evil of Obama almost daily. Well, you're just speaking truth, brother. I love that statement. It's one of my favorite things. You know, if Bobby Shell's messing up in his life, it happens. He's being ordained tonight. I promise you, he's messed up in his life in the last 48 hours. I guarantee it. We all do it. But if I got a problem with Bobby, my job is to go to Bobby and take him in a place where nobody else but Bobby can hear and tell Bobby what the problem is. Because at the end of the day, I hate to tell you, it may not be what I think it is. Boy, doesn't that make you stupid? You ever done that? Well, I saw this and this and this and this, and it turns out it wasn't that and that and that and that, and you sound like a moron. Because you can't wait to make yourself look better to somebody else down the road. I make myself look better by making him look worse. Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? And it's easy for me to say, I've done it. I've done it. But speaking evil of no man, I love how we take this and say, well, if it's truth, it's not evil. Be very careful with what you say. Let me let you in a little insight. Just because it's truth doesn't mean it has to be spoken. You are a fat person. Yeah, I'm aware of that. But I don't think you needed to tell me that. Huh? You are a person that's not living correctly. I don't have a problem with you telling me that to my face. But I got to be honest with you, very few people tell me anything to my face. I don't know if it's this scared tactic or if they're just chickens. But understand this, you've got a lot better row to hoe with me if you talk to me as opposed to about me. I'm not afraid anybody talks about me. I'm not even going to listen to people that talk about me. But if you talk to me, I may hear you. See, this is and it could be truth. By the way, did you know I do things wrong? So you've got to, you can find something. You can look, you can find something. You dig deep enough, everybody in here is going to end up hitting dirt. But understand this, being justified, and by the way, we're going to get to justification at the end of this passage. I just find it amazing it starts out trying to tell you to live right. You're going to be justified, but in the meantime, live right. Yep. We think, well, it's truth. I'll go ahead and tell everybody in the whole wide world it's not wrong if it's truth. It's wrong if you use truth to hurt. Right. It's wrong if you use truth to make yourself look better. It's just truth, just speaking truth. You might be speaking truth, but you're using it in a manner that's going to cast a javelin in the heart of a person that's trying to live for Christ. It's amazing to me how we live this life claiming justification, but unwilling to know that the person we're speaking of is also justified. Boy, that's good stuff. I hope you hear this morning, because just as many people have been justified freely, That's you and me and everyone else in here has been justified. If you're saved today, can you say amen to the fact that you're justified freely? So knowing that everybody in here that was able to say amen and did, you're justified freely, how can I look at you and say anything but the same? Boy, that's good preaching. We're trying to establish a pecking order. Well, I'm the best one in this room. I'm looking around and I just seem to be the best. That's why God washed the feet of the disciples. Because in that room, I'm fairly certain we'd all agree that Christ was the best. And there he is, kneeling at the feet of sinners, washing the feet of sinners, showing them what attitude we ought to have. Because he did that as an example. See, speak evil of no man because you're full of evil yourself. Boy, that's good stuff. Look at this now. To be no brawlers, but gentle. Well, I'm a man, buddy. Talk to me about being gentle. You know, we could use a little bit more gentle men in this world. Showing all meekness unto the people that you like. Boy, I tell you, we're getting the justification. But boy, it seems like God's going to have to give us a lot of grace in the between, isn't he? Look at this now. But gentle, showing all. How much meekness? I'm just going to give him as much as I want to. Showing all meekness unto who? Even the people you don't like. What is meekness? Oh, this is so good. Meekness is washing the feet of the betrayer. Jesus could have said, I'm going to wash everybody but Judas. But he washed him too. Now understand this. You may not like somebody in this room. You may not like me. But you better show meekness, because this is what the Bible says. Now understand, I'm also, hey, I look in the mirror when I say that. I need to do it too. And there's a lot of times I don't. Show all servants' hearts to all people. Oh boy, you've got this in your life. Man, I can't do this. Listen, we're supposed to show all meekness unto all people, knowing justification's coming. You're going to screw up. I understand that. You're going to screw up. I get it. But can I ask you a question? In the beginning of this, don't you want somebody to show you meekness? Don't you want somebody to show you gentleness and kindness? Don't you want somebody to recognize that, you know what, maybe you're just having a bad day? I'm not trying to make excuse for you, but God is. Who's making an excuse? God's making an excuse for you right here. God is so good. See, there are times that we do right. And if we look back, we say, boy, that felt good to do right. It felt good to watch that person, that family, get sent off to Alabama with money from Bethel Baptist Church. That felt good. But Christian, how many people sat there and said, I'm not giving money to those people? Huh? It's not about the money. The only reason there's money in your wallet is because God's good to you. We act like it's ours. We hold on to our wallets like it's an absolute. If we lose it, we lose our life. And it's a pain when you lose it. But at the very same time, God gave you everything you've got. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we, look at the boy, this is so, God is so good. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, sometimes disobedient, sometimes deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That paragraph deals with us, All of us. Every one of us. Now understand this. We're almost to justification. Just a few more verses. But when you look at this verse, it's not excluding anyone. Mother Teresa, not excluded. Pope, whoever it is, not out of this whole paragraph. By the way, the Catholic Church is going to start accepting queers real soon. You watch. You got it. It was a coupon. Woohoo. And if you look at these verses, the Bible tries to teach us in these first few verses, knowing that you're a sinner, knowing that he's taken all this from you, knowing that you've got Christ that's paid it all, knowing that you no longer have sin in his eyes, knowing all these things that Christ has given you, knowing all these, we should still try to live right. Even more, we should want to live right because of all the things he's done for us. But after that, oh boy. See, these three verses are fantastic to tell you what kind of people we are. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. I'm going to tell you, if you don't think we've got a great God, you need to read your Bible. After all this, after all the tearing each other up, Brother Jordan, after all that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Not one of us. We're good enough. Bobby's going to be ordained tonight, but he didn't do anything good enough. God's done everything through that man. Let me tell you something. You want to see somebody get ordained? You'll see somebody that's ashamed of himself. Say what you want to say. When you get, listen, when I came forward and surrendered to preach, I thought to sure I was going to tell my daddy, yeah, I'm here now. God's ready to do something. Say what you want to say. I took these four steps, and they were the most shameful steps I've ever taken in my entire life. Why is that, preacher? Because God's using a sinner. God is using a man that fills these verses. I've spoke evil of men. I've been a brawler. I haven't been gentle. I haven't shown meekness unto all men. Huh? I haven't. I was foolish. I was disobedient. I have been deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, and still to this day sometimes fall in these very things. But after that, that's why you're embarrassed. But after that, that's why you're ashamed. But after that, that's why you've got problems. But after that, that's why you've got guilt. But after that, that we've got a God that shows kindness and love towards the sinner. Amen. I think we might have Sunday school this morning. Amen? Never been very good at teaching. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Whew. I've heard all this before, preacher. Well, you need to keep hearing it. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Because he just keeps giving. We could literally just stop short at salvation done. But God, he doesn't stop. Look at this. Which he shed on us. Which he shed on us abundantly. How did he do that? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I don't believe Jesus has ever given us just a little bit. Let me say that again. I don't believe Jesus has ever given us just a little bit. He is an all-in-all kind of God. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. justification is like God has taken an absolute eraser and taken our life. And by, the first three verses let us in on who we are. Every person, I can't tell you this enough. Every person in this room, don't look around thinking there's somebody better than you. Sometimes people go through that. They look around and say, man, I know, but boy, Brother Jack Dollar, he's leading a better life than I am. No. No. We're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. There may be less things that are hindering Jack Dollar, but that doesn't make him less a sinner. See, we're still sinners. The sin that we have, only Christ can get rid of, not us. We should desperately not want to sin, and then there's our quandary. There's where we get perplexed. We should not want to sin. We should have the desire to not want to sin. But Christ knows that your future is full of it until the rapture comes or you die. Preacher gave the greatest illustration. It's like a dead corpse hanging on you that you will never get rid of. It's always there, always on your back, always dogging you. How many can say amen to the fact that sin dogs them? If you can't say amen, you need to get your vocal cords checked out, because we all have sin that dogs us. And by the way, isn't it amazing how it's always the same one? Yeah. You'd think that you'd stop walking in front of the car that's hitting you. I mean, there comes the car. And we can't believe we got hit. And every single time, oh, there's that car again. And we do it again and again and again. We're stupid people. I'm raising my hand because I do it too. The same sin that you confronted with. And by the way, it's like having... it's like having Twinkies on your refrigerator. You know, you ought not. You know it. You know, midnight cometh when no man ought to eat. You know that what that's going to do to you is not worth the maybe a second and a half of joy. I mean, let's face it, Twinkies are so small now, we're about a bite and a half. And you'll walk in the kitchen and walk past it the first time. I got you. You'll walk past it the second time. And then the refrigerator will call out, I've got milk. Huh? Your flesh tells you. Your flesh tells you, man, cold milk would be good right now. I'll just have the milk. Milk's good. We've got 2%. It's not going to be as fattening as whole milk. Not as good as whole milk, but it's not going to be as fattening. 2%. And maybe even some of you are crazy and drink skim. That's just white water. I'm telling you right now. Skim milk is not milk. It's stupid is what it is. I'm telling you that right now. Praise the Lord. But what do you do? I want to show you what verse it is. I want to show you what verse it is. The Bible gives you a verse for this. Look at this now. If you look at this, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Understand this. Sin is a pleasure. What doesn't that stink? See, it stinks because sin is still fun. You know how many times I've preached to the kids, you know why you sin? Because it's fun. Do you know how many times you preach to the teenagers? The reason that you do these things is because the flesh sees it as fun. It's diverse lusts and pleasures that still cripples the adult Christian to this very day. That diverse lust and pleasure says you cannot walk past the box the third time without dipping your hand in, not for just one, mind you. And five is grace. You'll dip your hand in that box. Why? Because it tastes good. Now let me ask you a question. I know this is foolishness, but let me ask you a question. This is true. This is the way I see it in every day in my life. I dip my hand in the box, and I certainly will not take just one, because that's just dumb. If you're going to exercise that much, you might as well grab two. Two always come out together anyhow. Your hand's just big enough to fit two.
Yep.
And you're not going to put one back. Which, oh, I mean, I pulled out two. I might as well eat them. So you'll fill that glass with milk because you only wanted to go halfway, but the milk just blurbed on you and you got a full glass now, ice cold. And you eat them both and drink all the milk and be happy for 7 seconds. Right? And then you'll ask yourself right after, why did I do that? Is sin not the same way? Is evil speaking of another man not the same way? Huh? It feels good while you're doing it. If it didn't feel good, you wouldn't do it, dummy. Hey, Brother Dave, if it didn't feel good, you wouldn't do it. Why don't you go to the doctor to get shots? Because it don't feel good. You have to be sicker than the shot hurts to go and get one. Amen? You do these sins because it's diverse lust. Your flesh craves it. It's diverse pleasure. Your flesh craves it. It craves to do the sin. It craves to do the wrong thing. And by the way, while you're doing it, it feels good. And then right after, your spirit kicks in and says, boy. And you tell to yourself after you let your belt out one more loop, why did I do that? Why? Why did I do that? Why did I partake? Because there's so much pleasure and so much lust. You've got to understand, to win that battle, you can't fight it. To win that battle, you've got to let Christ fight it. You've got to let Spirit fight the desire to speak evil, the desire to brawl. You know, there's people out there just can't wait to fight. And I'm not talking about fighting with fists necessarily. They just can't wait to fight. Doesn't matter what it's about. They just can't wait to fight. That's what they love it. It's part of their, that's what they do. They just want to fight. I'm going to tell you right now, that type of brawling, that's sinful. And what happens in our lives as Christians, we live in this place where you're bad, but I am not. That's sin too. See, if you look at these verses, it tells us who we are, and then it tells us who He is. And not by works of righteousness which we have done. For in your flesh dwelleth what? So if we know that no good thing dwelleth in our flesh, it's got to be Christ. And boy, that's hard for me. That's hard for me to think about. I hope it's hard for you too, that I'm not capable of doing anything in my flesh that's any good. That's tough to hear, but it's the truth. You can't do it according to the Bible. I'm going to believe him in the Bible long before I'm going to believe you not in the Bible. And if this says, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, none of which have anything to do with us, which he shed on us. He shed on us. He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. If you're willing to say that your sin, once you're saved, that your sin is going to take you to hell, you're willing to say that Christ can't pay for it. Why do we believe in eternal security? Because we're not the ones paying for it. Why do we believe in eternal security? Because, Jordan, I didn't do anything to get the security. And people can't fathom that because they are in their flesh. In their flesh, they say, man, you're kidding me? There's no way. I'm not good. I'm not right. And by the way, Christ knows that. But he took care of it, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified, just as though I've never sinned. By his grace, we should be made heirs. Not only did he give us salvation, taking us out of the pits of hell. Not only did he give us grace to walk through this world today. Mercy sufficient to take us out of that place and let us live through this place. Not only did he do all those things, he's also made us heirs. Heirs. And by the way, Brother Bobby is not more of an heir than I am, and I'm not more of an heir than any of you. We're all heirs, joint heirs, all the same. Being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And I'm going to end it with the next verse. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. You know why you need it constantly? Because we fall apart constantly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. You should want to. These things are good and profitable unto men. Justification is so wonderful. He looks at us just as though we've never sinned, making us capable of serving him. Not that we have done, but that he has done through us. We're going to have an ordination tonight that's not because of the goodness of the man. It's because of the goodness of the God that he serves. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you so much for justification. Oh God, I know this is all simple. I know this has all been heard a million times, but God, I don't think we can hear it enough. Matter of fact, your Bible tells me that we should constantly hear about it so we maintain our good works. Lord God, thank you so much for saving me. I can't believe that you did. Knowing who I was going to be and knowing every step I was going to take and every mistake I was going to make, you still saved me. And then, oh man, you called me to preach. I don't get it. I've got nothing to offer. I don't believe anybody in this room has anything to offer. But Lord, you have so much to offer through us. Lord, help us to want, to desire to serve you. And to do that, we're going to have to take your spirit on us and not our flesh. Because even to this day, we have that flesh, that old rotten corpse hanging from us. Lord God, help us to pay more attention to your spirit than we pay attention to that old rotten corpse. Lord God, help us today. Help us have a good morning. I'm just going to continue right on with justification this morning, God. I really am. Lord, you're so good to us. You're so wonderful. Lord, help us. Help our preacher to get better. He's coming back. Lord, I believe that he's coming back health-wise. Lord, please continue to bring him. We need him. Oh, God, we need him. Help us today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.